speech by the president at Glens Ferry, Idaho, May the 10th, 1950.
Hello. The president of the United States.
Pleasure to be here this morning, I can assure you. You know what a great pleasure it is to meet this warm weather again. When I left Washington, it was 92 in the shade. And when I got out here to western Nebraska, Wyoming, it was snowing. Hard to tell what kind of cold to wear in such a change of weather. And since early this morning, I've been traveling across southern Idaho through this great Snake River Valley. Ladies, only a little after 9 o'clock, and I've already made speeches at Pocatello and Shoshone. Now I'm glad to be able to stop here for a few minutes at Glens Ferry and talk with you about some of the problems that this country faces today, problems in which you are vitally interested and in which I am vitally interested. The reason I came out here was to give you my viewpoint and to find out what your viewpoint is directly, so there can be no misunderstanding of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to say. The biggest problem we have is that of maintaining world peace. We can build a peaceful world only if we remain prosperous and well off here at home. There's a very direct connection between farm prosperity and world peace. Farm prosperity is the foundation of the national economy of the United States. That was certainly true 20 years ago when farm depression in the 1920s led to the Great Depression. I think that the farm home and the small country town are among the strongest bulwarks of our democracy. We've got to see to it that farmers prosper on farms which they own themselves. We shall certainly go downhill if we ever have a large, rural, floating population who have to earn a living by working in fields of a few large-scale landowners. That's why I took a look with grave suspicion on the development of the so-called industrialized agriculture, the operations of farms that are nothing but factories for the production of crops. What makes a great republic and a great country are the small landowners, men who have property of their own on which they live and make a living. These farm factories depend for their prosperity upon a large force of landless and underprivileged workers. These workers have to migrate from place to place without any opportunity for a decent life for their wives and children. The federal government has been doing great in recent years to help men and women own and improve their own homes. You folks here in Idaho know all about the new farms that are opened up by reclamation projects in former sagebrush areas. One of the most important things to remember about a reclamation program is that it safeguards the family-sized farm and does not give encouragement to the growth of these huge corporate farms I was talking about. And that's not all we've been doing. The state of Idaho alone, more than $34 million has been loaned on farm and home operating needs and for purchase, enlargement, and development of farms. We've also lent Idaho farmers over $1 million to install needed irrigation and water facilities. The Farmers Home Administration is also helping hundreds of new farm families, a large number of which are veterans, to get started on new farms. When we first started doing something to help the farm tenants buy their own land back in 1935, you should have heard the outcries coming from the opposition. In those days, the reactionaries set up an outfit which they called the American Liberty League. They used a long blast against the bankhead Jones Farm Tenant, calling it a socialistic experiment. Those words have been used ever since we started to work for the farm back in 1887. Called the name of Hatch for the great state of Missouri. Got a bill through the Congress to appropriate $15,000 to each state that wants an experiment station in connection with its agricultural college. And he was called a socialist, and a man who was going to tear down the government of the United States. Yet nearly every agricultural college in the United States now works under that same Hatch Act. They said the Farmer Tenants Program was Russianization of agriculture. Well, you folks seem to know that our farmers' home program wasn't nothing of the sort. Instead of being socialistic, it's been a real force in preserving and strengthening free enterprise. Now, if you didn't believe that silly nonsense about socialization in 1935, I know you didn't believe it in 1935, and I'm very sure you don't believe it now. No matter what such people say, we intend to go right ahead and improve the condition of agriculture and carry out the whole Fair Deal program to secure good housing, good health, education, and social security. These are measures which will help us preserve world peace. Our greatest objective, and if we're going to get world peace, we ourselves must be economically strong. We must be in a position where our people are better off, have more things, and live better than any other people in the world are that way now. We want to keep that up. And it's my idea that if we can inform the people in those countries that are under tyranny of the facts of life as we see them here in this great United States, we'll never have any more difficulty about getting a world peace for the land. Now, what our ambition has been, ever since I inherited the presidency on April 12, 1945, to obtain world peace, a peace that'll last, a peace that'll help us all, a peace that'll make all the peoples of the world happy. And I know that's not beyond the bounds of possibility. And I know you believe me when I tell you that's exactly what we're working for. And we're going to keep working for it until we get it. You know, I've been up against them very, very hard propositions. I think you remember back in 1948, it was said that it was an impossibility for me to go around over the country and convince the people that I was on the right track for their benefit. I did convince them, and we did win. Now, we want to convince the world in exactly the same manner that we're on the right track and we win, because I think God's with us in that enterprise. I certainly appreciate the cordiality with which I've been treated in Idaho. I'm out here, as I told you in the beginning, to tell you what I think and what I'm trying to do, and try to convince you that while I was out here in 1948, running for president and trying to get votes, I'm not running for anything now. I'm out here to report to you on exactly what I'm trying to do, and I want your help to help me put it over. I may come back a little later and talk a little politics to you, but I'm not doing it now. Thank you very much.